Chapter 19. Prax. Princus Praxa. The locomotive rattled along the damaged track, steadily slowing as it curved towards Princus Praxa. The orc pressed up against the inside of the carriage window, squeaked slowly down until Zerbrin arrested it with a firm hand to the back of its neck. A buckled sleeper jarred the carriage and touched acid to the raw tendons in his arm. These orcs had been allowed to grow large, as great perhaps as those fought by the Primarchs on Ulanor, and the continual buffeting made it feel heavier. With a grunt, he drew the brute back into place just as an orc sentry post flashed across the window. Scrap metal painted red. Belt-fed combi weapons in huge, gauntleted hands. Then columns, bullet-chewed ferrocrete blinking past as the locomotive passed under the terminus's flat roof. Sunlight receded, replaced by spotty lumens and the drum fires scattered over the platforms and access ramps. Gangs of Gretchen and the occasional leather-clad orc were busily loading and unloading. Zerberin expected to see human slaves performing the greenskins' labour, but what few humans he saw were in chained lines being fed out of dusty locomotives and into corrals. Moving in the opposite direction were big industrial storage drums, light weaponry and vehicles, and agricultural machinery. Orcs in rugged yellow battle suits, showing off sneering moon glyphs, oversaw the import and export with a brutish efficiency that any crude hierarchy would recognise. In another setting, Zerbrin might have been watching administratum troopers extorting a local militia. Some kind of lumpen enameled currency changed hands. The march of columns slowed as the locomotive squealed towards an empty platform. A 10-strong mob of orcs in thick red bodyplate followed the engine in, streaming down a frozen escalator from a pedestrian flyover. Some kind of boss, broader than the rest by half a metre and as dark as a predator's treads, waved a clenched fist for them to spread out. And they did. At a barked command, two pairs clattered forwards to cover each of the carriage doors. Half of the mob hung back on overwatch. It was organised. Professional. Not at all like orcs. Zerberin drew his bolt pistol carefully. Columba and the rest of veteran squad Anatok prepared themselves, keeping hold of the orcs they hid behind with elbows, shoulders, whatever was practical. The Tempestus Scions crammed into the vestibule and underseat areas out of sight, calmly activated their weapons' visual augmenter beams, flexing fingers, rolling shoulders, working space enough for each man to move when the moment came. The rising hum of hot-shot packs resonated through the carriage's metal fittings. Major Bryce angled up the reflective edge of his slate monitorum to the window and grimaced. "Bloody axes," he hissed. "That's what we call them for the symbol on their armour. Always kill them first." "Noted," said Zerbrin, disengaging his bolt pistol from its mag holster. The locomotive heaved onto its brakes and then cried shrilly to a halt. The bloody axes came running in, two by two. Zerbrin checked the countdown timer he had programmed into his helm display. It was locked on 0000, and had been for half a second. "Brother Donbus, are you sure that the greenskin munitions you recovered were—" A second sun rose over the pasture desert, white and furious, light burning up the track like a runaway train. Bryce grunted and slid back under the window, but Zerberin's auto-senses protectively filmed over a split second ahead of time. He saw the orcs on the platform turn in surprise towards the thermonuclear explosion on the horizon, then clutch their eyes and stagger out of their ordered overwatch formation. "Now!" Zerberin yanked the release cord. The doors shuddered apart, far enough for him to force his right arm through to the pauldron and open fire. A single mass-reactive explosion ripped the shoulder from a bellowing bloody axe. He tracked left, fired again, as its fellow brought up its gun blind and dropped it with a splitting rupture in his chest. At the same time, Scions, in full omni-shield glare protection, popped the roof escape hatches, swinging up plasma weaponry and hot-shot volley guns and raking the platform with fire. Zerbrin got his fingers between his pauldron plate and the doors and pushed them open. He jumped, two-footed, onto the platform, cracking into it. A bloody axe flailed for him with eyes closed. A headshot exploded it, just as the window behind him shattered. Arriving at his own decision to move now, rather than wait for his captain, Columba simply fired through the window on full auto. Propellant trails crisscrossed the platform. Mass-reactive kill shots painted it red. With their lighter profiles, the Scions climbed easily through the broken frames. Bryce was first onto the platform, emptying a charge cell into the bloody axe boss's body armor, and then scrambling behind a pillar as the blinded orc let rip with a racketing burst of fire. Calcator executed the creature with a single bolt round between the shoulder blades. The warsmith stood on the platform by the doors of the rear carriage. He threw a mock salute. The orcs at that end of the platform were dead. Traitor Space Marines were disembarking to take up firing positions over the shredded remains, while, in a gnar of corrupted motors, the three Terminators formed up into a line, a wall, and advanced on the steps up to the flyover. The escalator was a natural choke point, and, drawn by the gunfire, orcs were already piling bodies and heavy guns up behind the bent crush barrier at the top. Tactical dreadnought plate had been built to withstand the worst a hostile galaxy could give out. It withstood this.
"Major!" Zerberin boomed over the screams and thunder of abused plasteel. "Do you know where my cousin is leading us?" "Yes, Lord. Street side access."
Zerberin looked around quickly. The station was a maze of platforms, overpasses, and panting locomotives that echoed with bestial shouts and weapons flare. Engines thundered through, not frequently, but at a speed and irregularity that made the tracks a genuine hazard, even for a space marine.
"Do you know an alternative route?"
"I do, Lord."
"Then take it.
We will force the direct route. Columba, take a 5-man combat squad. Go with him."
With a metallic growl, the veteran sergeant jumped into the tracks in the direction that Bryce and the Tempestus Scions were moving. Donbas, Borhun, Nalis, and Tarsus fell in with him, squeezing off controlled bursts at the orcs on the far side whenever the locomotive screeching between them left space for a shot. Zerberin turned to the Iron Warriors. The Terminators walked into a gauntlet of missiles, bombs, and explosive rounds like a vehicle's dozer blade churning up a minefield. Calcator and the traitor Space Marines moved up behind them, taking snapshots over the massive head and shoulder armor of their cataphracti brothers. Zerberin accorded their efficiency, a grudging admiration. Goaded beyond their febrile discipline, the orcs poured over the crush barriers with a roar. Bodies exploded, ripped apart by mass-reactive rounds. The muzzle flashes of rapid-firing combi bolters strobed in the narrow space. Beasts howled. Piped laughter boomed from helmet speakers. Tough alien flesh met ceramite composite like knuckles flying into a riot shield. Against men, against lesser orcs, the line of Terminators would have been enough. But since the death of Idolica, Zerberin had never seen orcs like these. A brute in black and white body plate, almost of a size with the Terminators, hammered its axe into the lead warrior's gorget protector and pulled him aside. It roared, axe stuck in the Terminator, heaved a traitor space marine up over its head and hurled him off the stair. It took a combat knife under its armpit, grunted, and elbowed the Iron Warrior so hard his plastron buckled under it. Then, severed fiber bundles sputtering with his armor's spirit's fury, the Terminator came about and pulped the rampaging orc with a crackling discharge from his power fist. But the line had already given. Zerberin killed two orcs with two shots. Neat. Perfect. A third he demolished with a hammer blow. Tosk and Rayok closed in alongside. Too close for bolter work, the veteran brothers made a wall of their knives.
"Break them!"
barked Calcator. His chainsword chewed messily through an orc's leg, while the full-sized bolter held steady in his bionic grip, kicked out bursts of semi-automatic fire into the pack.
"Would you have our cousins think us weak?"
Growling their rancor, the Terminators slammed back into line and pushed on with visceral determination. In a blizzard of bolter fire, they took the crush barrier. Traitor Space Marines spread out onto the walled flyover in both directions and immediately started firing.
"Brother Carver, rearguard,"
said Zerberin. Restricted in the use of his heavy flamer by the close fighting, Carver had held back on the platform until then. Antheil came up with him, firing from the chest.
Agreed, brother captain. Cataphracti forward. Brothers to the flanks. Grind them under your heels.
Iron within,
blurted a heavily augmented warrior of the Chosen.
Iron without,
came the return, and a shiver ran down Zerberin's spine. They started forwards like a phalanx from the Age of Bronze reenacted from a treatise on ancient tactica. Shields forwards, shields side, spears up, advancing as one. As Gilliman had once written, man never changes, so war never changes. Cutting themselves a path with Bolter and Powerfist, the Iron Warriors and Fist's Exemplar ground through the walkway and spilled out onto a pillared concourse of polished stone. A painted fresco showing the Fourth Legion liberating a verdant world lit the ceiling with vivid metallics. Engaged columns, rounded in the classical High Crusade style and carved in the likeness of unhelmed Legiones Astartes, looked in from the walls. A huge Baroque timepiece hung from the ceiling's central vault. It was broken, too badly shot up even to make out the time of death. Orcs were pouring in through the large street-side doors ahead, as well as from subway accesses and smashed-up refectory rooms to either side. The space was too open for the Space Marines to take them as they had before, and so they charged for the doors, firing from the hip as they ran. Sluggers and bolters chewed old stone pillars to the bone and blasted them apart. Zerberin and Kalkator moved together into a storm of lead so intense it was like pushing against a falling wall. Where one was forced to let up to slam a clip into his bolter, the other emptied his to cover him. Where one engaged with thunderhammer or chainsword, the other was there at his side. It was as the Iron Warrior had said. Together, they were invincible. Zerberin cleared the doors with a thunderstrike of his hammer and chased Kalkator into the street, pistol tracking like a restless auto-targeter. The grand old buildings were grizzled by gunfire, their ornate blackwork twisted, pierced, and scarred. The road, wide enough in this world's heyday for a squadron of Lehman Russ tanks, was filled with vehicle wrecks and blockaded at either end with garishly painted trucks and stacks of burning tires. A fine red rain fell, jellied and horrible. He had expected it to be warm, but it wasn't. He looked up. Blood vapour and chemicals pumped from the city's rendering plants, hazed high above street level, obscuring the chimneys and the higher rooftops. Over the rumble of running engines, he could hear a frenzied, guttural chant. He focused his lyman's ear, cutting away the immediacy of combat. He had heard it before, splitting the skies of Idolica like thunder. The Beast. It was everywhere, booming through some kind of public address system, rigged up all over the surrounding streets. Another transmitted recording, no doubt, but the thought that the orc could be near filled Zerberin's chest with fury.
This way, little cousin.
Hugging the station's columned frontage, Kalkator turned right and kept running. Iron Warriors and Fist's Exemplar followed in ones and twos, staccato bursts of bolter fire stippling the walls and barricades. The Warsmith dropped down by the rear end of an agricultural 16-wheeler that was blocking the way. A mob of orcs fired down from its iron roof, laughing, grisly by firelight. Space Marines stepped up and raked the truck in turn. Heedless of the firefight, Kalkator closed his bionic fingers around the truck's rear bar and strained. The massive vehicle began to tilt. The gunfire abruptly ceased as eight of the transport's wheels were pulled away from the ground. A metallic growl strained through the Warsmith's helmet grill as he heaved the truck over and onto its side. Iron Warriors poured through the breached barricade, laughing bitterly as they gunned down crushed and dazed orcs where they lay. Tosk unpinned a frag grenade and rolled it between the wheels of the abutting vehicle. Blast debris blew out around their ankles as the Fist's Exemplar followed in. Brother Carver hosed the street with promethium. Zerberin was the last. Looking back, he saw scores of ramshackle orc bikes maneuvering through the roadblocks at the street's opposite end. From the vandalized tenement habs across the way, portcullis-like sheets of metal were being withdrawn over windows and doors. Orcs roughly jammed ammo feeds into newly uncovered weapon emplacements. Seriously outfitted heavy infantry, bloody axes and leering moons, and a chugging walker that looked like a dreadnought, rumbled into the street. Stowing his thunderhammer, Zerberin crouched by the truck's rear bar and took it in both hands, intending to block the way behind them. The ligaments rose up on his neck until his entire body shook. He let go with a gasp. The vehicle was immovable.
Carver! Reok!
He shouted, the strongest in his command.
Aid me, brothers!
A missile screwed over their heads before either of the space marines had moved. The warhead's onboard guidance spirit jinked it between Rex and Debris and then slammed it through the flame effect front fairing of an orc attack bike. An implosive crack detonation ripped out its fuselage, drew fire back in through its exhaust, and sent what was left of the sidecar rocketing spectacularly into the air.
Emperor's speed, brother,
voxed Sergeant Columba. Zerberin saw the green-lit armored profiles of Tempestus Scions taking position amongst the ribs and angels of the station's roof. Hot shot and support weapon fire lashed across the wide road.
Many thanks, Zerberin replied. Give them to the Major. He will make better use of them. Can you see Calcator? To my shame.
Then cover us until we are clear, then circle back and follow. I will praise you both in person.
Columba gave a snort and signed off. The road beyond the barricade was lit with drum fires, stripped down vehicles of subhuman make abandoned around craters in the road. Greenskin dead, exhibiting signs of mass reactive trauma, lay splattered and strewn. Zerberin wiped chilly red condensate from his helm lenses. Drums of the sort he had seen being loaded onto trains bound for the agriplexes were piled high in pyramidal stacks outside of warehouses. Where those outbound vessels had appeared empty, a handful of these were leaking a gelatinous paste where bolt rounds had punctured them, but not hit sufficient mass to detonate. Intermingled human skins were staked up under glowing electrical heaters. Tanneries. An acidic urine stench infused them, and wafting out into the street with every flap and ripple of slow, curing flesh. The sound of gunning engines dragged him back. The last of the Iron Warriors were disappearing into an alley. Antil was there, waving for the rest of them to hurry. Zerberin slammed his shoulder into the tipped truck, with his brother's help sending it squealing back into place in the barricade. He backed away, clapping rust from his gauntlets, and shoved Carver and Rayok after their traitor allies. The alley was narrow and desperately dark, wide enough for an Iron Warrior's Terminator, but only just. The walls were crowded with metal escape ladders that vibrated with every base grunt from the beast's augmenter network. Blended waste trickled through open sewage channels, carrying nuggets of bone, the occasional finger. Moments before, Zerberin had thought he had seen the basest point to which human byproduct could be rendered. Now, crashing headlong through knotted waste sacks and refuse drums, he was rudely re-educated. Calcator's vanguard had just cleared the alley when a pair of spotlights hit them from behind the row of habs. No, not spotlights. Headlights. There was a squeal of tire rubber, a turbo-charged petrochem roar, and then an armored troop truck smashed through the two traitor space marines at point and straight into the wall. The lamps flickered. Masonry pattered over the crowded troop compartment. Orcs in thick, spiked armor and enclosed helms fired their guns in the air, the rear wheels still revving up swirls of red dust as the fighters piled out into the alley. Zerberin kicked in a side door partially hidden behind a pair of bins.
This way!
He ran through into what looked like a processing plant or manufactory. Carver followed, the pilot of his heavy flamer flickering blue in the utter dark like a serpent's tongue, then Rayok, Galen and Tosk, and finally Antil, covering the rear with tight bursts of bolter fire. There were small windows high up in the two long walls, but these had been crudely boarded up and painted over in thick primary colours. The skylight over the centre of the manufactorum floor had been successively stained red. It was like trying to look out from inside an artery. The veteran brothers activated their helm lights. The beams stabbed up into towering lines of heavy machinery, chopped through steel ladders and dug into the dark to glint back off meat hooks and ceiling-mounted suspensor platforms. The line was still running, conveyors clattering away unidentifiable chunks of gristle and flesh into the dark. Surrounded by horror, Zerbrin almost forgot the Iron Warriors. Firing on full automatic now, the traitor space marines retreated inside. A warrior with a tusked helm and hellishly embellished battleplate tore a frag grenade from a clutch at his belt, leaving the pin behind, and then launched it through the open door. The confined frag blast stormed both ways down the alley and blew scraps of flesh and debris into the manufactorum. At a command from Calcator, another slammed the door while two of his brothers dragged over a pallet loader laden with drums and jammed it up against the frame. Zerbrin quickly cast about for another way out.
"We can carry on, further into the complex," said Calcator, striding over and clearly reading his intent.
One crimson lens on his helm was fractured and flickered crazily, while grey sealant gel welled up from breach points in his battleplate like a fungal infestation. The unpainted ceramite cloaking his apostate colours made him, just for a moment, appear almost noble.
"The bunker's entry point is not far, but we cannot fight every orc in this city to get there. Where is it? And lessen my value to you. I'm too old to be a fool, little cousin."
"Then go," said Zerbrin, ejecting a spent clip from his pistol and locking home another. Not many left now. They would have to count.
"My brothers and I will hold them here."
He expected Calcator to argue. A brother of the Fist's exemplar would have, for it was as deeply in their nature to be martyrs as it was to be contrary. True to his legion's harsh reputation, however, Calcator accepted the willing sacrifice with a nod of his horned helm and a flicker of his shattered lens.
"Theron,"
he growled. The most elaborately armoured of the Terminators turned in answer to his name in a shiver of razor wire and painful iconography. There was still an axe embedded in his gorget's fibre bundles, restricting his helmet's range of motion. There had been no time to address it.
"You and your brothers will remain. You will follow the Fist Exemplar's orders as though they were mine."
Zerbrin's eyebrow arched. Honour from an Iron Warrior? He doubted it. More likely, the cataphracti pattern suits would simply slow the rest of Calcator's force down.
"From honour cometh iron,"
the warsmith bellowed, backing off and summoning his warriors to follow. As the last of the Iron Warriors moved past him, Zerbrin brought his bolt pistol to cover the alley side entrance they had left behind. "This is my ground," it said in his gene-selfish voice, the voice of every Imperial Fist that had ever occupied a fort or defended a hill. "I hold it." To stop running, to turn and hold. Tactical necessity it may have been, but that was not why it felt right. Tosk joined him, then Rayok, Carver, Gallon, and Anteel, pauldron to pauldron to pauldron in an unbroken circle. Corners were weaknesses. The sturdiest redoubts had none. A scuffling came from the alley, of steel boots and bulky weapons hitting bins. Zerbrin focused his hearing to gauge their numbers, but was immediately distracted by something else. Engines. Vehicles were circling the structure, disgorging troops. Zerbrin could hear them hammering up to the walls.
"Fist's exemplar!" cried Zerbrin, aiming for the door behind the rough barricade. "The first wall!"
A rapid beating, like that from a crooked fan rotor, droned overhead, and the circle of Fist's exemplar was suddenly bathed in red light. Zerbrin looked up and squinted into the floodlight shafting in through the skylight. He scowled into the glare, shifting his aim upwards even as the shadows it had disgorged dropped towards the glass. The orcs were coming.